Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Tricia, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the first Don't Suffer, Communicate retreat. Welcome, Tricia.
Hi, welcome. Welcome. It's been such an honor to be invited to share. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. So, you know, I was thinking as we were looking at these 10 minutes that we have, you know, there's always so much we could say about the power of being together with Sangha, a large group of Sangha, for a New Year's retreat. But given how short our time is, I thought it might be fun just to jump right into the actual content of the retreat, because partly because there are a couple of other chances for folks to participate in that same retreat in the coming year. One also in Northern California and the other in Pennsylvania. And so I thought it would be fun for folks to hear directly about your experience of participating in the retreat.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, you know, every year I say this is the best retreat ever.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm just saying it again, but I was really, it seems so much deeper than you would think. Like when you say communication, I didn't expect it to be really a portal, really a tool to be able to, for me to really be able to, it gave me the tools that I was really needing. Specifically, I was struggling with the two-handed recording, and it was just like, it was like magic. I thought, oh my gosh, this retreat was like created just for me. This is exactly what I'm struggling with, you know. And I think,
right.
I mean, two things come to mind specifically that Sherry talked about. Well, first is that trilogy.
And I will one quick pause, Tricia. I'm sure this is not where you're headed, but just in case, one thing I don't want to do is just make sure that so we don't give anything away for folks who haven't had a chance to do it yet. So love for you to talk directly about your experience of it, but not, for example, not giving away particular exercises or that kind of thing. Just that.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, I would just say, though, in general, I think the facilitation tools were, incredibly impactful for me. And
well,
for
and
me,
I,
you know, for, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you please. Yep.
I was just saying what I was particularly struggling with is the two-handed recording. And, incredible resistance to doing it. And I had been looking at that the month before in the year-long program. And really, you know, I had looked at that a lot. I had put a lot of thought, you know, and reflection into that. And and specifically this, you know, when you do the recording in your right hand and it and you're supposed to just like let it all come out unedited, uncensored. You know, that's the encouragement. Well, I was just stuck. You know, that just didn't happen for me. As I went into the retreat, I had this experience of the relationship with my mentor and this authentic human being was, you know, it was respectful, it was cordial, but it just didn't feel really intimate. Not really healing an intimate relationship. And I also noticed that that's kind of reflective of many other relationships in my life. So then during the retreat, during one of the, you know, first facilitation exercises, and again, I won't get into the specifics of it.
The details,
But it was just, I was listening to that, the right-handed recording and was able to kind of facilitate myself in that And then when I put it in the left hand for the left hand recording and was listening to it, it was, I mean, what I saw was that it wasn't the content that, you know, I mean, it was kind of like I looked past the content, and what I saw was this suffering human being unable to express herself. Just, you know, really struggling with expressing that. And I, you know, for whatever reason, I just had never seen that so clearly. I mean, in an instant, I could just see this karmic conditioned pattern that goes way back. I mean, since I was a child and all through my life, I could see this pattern that had been operating and, you know, controlling my life and causing so much suffering. And just, I mean, in an instant, that compassion just arose so spontaneously for this poor, suffering human. And, it was incredible. Like I said, I had been working on that for a whole month on this process, and it just, in an instant, it was like everything just melted away. And what, you know, I really saw the, you know, the real issue was just how hard it is to, you know, to express myself.
Oh my goodness. I mean, there's so much in that, Trish. And, you know, exactly as you say, what you started with is, who would have guessed that, you know, communication seems like such a sort of mechanical sort of a topic, right? You know, just learn a few skills and, you know, get good at this thing. And yet, especially because of the way we're approaching it in a situation like this, it gets right down to the core of everything. And it truly is, don't suffer, communicate, right? That there is, that's the process.
Yeah, it is. It is a portal into this, you know, I guess, just into presence. And when you're there, you know, then it's just so spontaneous. It's just with those aha moments, those things that drop in. And this retreat was, you know, gave really specific tools, you know, to help with that, to help getting there. And that, you know, that's what I feel like afterwards. You know, now I just feel like, I mean, there's two main things I really feel. One is that I actually have a toolkit, and I have these tools that are very specific and practical that I can use. And not only, you know, you would think that, oh, you're communicating with other people. Yes, that's true. But these tools actually helped me, like, facilitate my own process, self. So that, and then just touching into that, the mentor, that two-handed recording, I just feel so supported. I feel supported, and I feel, you know, like, drawn to, excited to do two-handed recording. And it was just torture before. I mean, I can't tell you. It was just torture. I mean, I did it because I just, like, wanted to practice and everything. But, I suffered through it. And now, I mean, just like magic. It's just like magic. It's like, I mean, even since I've been off the retreat, you know, three or four times it's just dropped in. Oh, I should do a two-handed recording for this. And I would have never done that before. I would have that would have never come up to me before that retreat.
And just that process of being willing to stick with it, right? Because I project you're in a practice, and, you know, this tool keeps being talked about. There must be something to it. I don't like it. It's not doing anything for me. In fact, I'm suffering with it. I wish it would just go away, or whatever that process is. But being willing to stick with it, and then through the retreat and the support of Sangha and the curriculum and, you know, all the facilitation, and that you get to actually have the direct experience. What an enormous gift.
Yes. And I don't know, you know, if this would have happened the same. But I do think the struggling with it and me, you know, focusing on that, and I, because I had already done a lot of reflecting with that 200 listening, I think it really helped me be prepared.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, it is. It's like so many other things. It's not that I hadn't kind of known that or heard that before, you know.
Yes.
But it just landed with me in just a really, you know, visceral way, this ability to just express yourself, and that there's, you know, there's someone there that can, that really has compassion for you and understands that suffering human being and can help you through it. It was I'll tell you, it was amazing. It was just
Amen.
So amazing. I'm so grateful and so thankful for that opportunity.
Me too. Absolutely. I truly feel like, wow, I could do all three of those retreats this year because I'm right with you. I mean, you know, it's not like it's brand new information, you know, but it's just the way that it's put together and the experiences that we have in doing it. Boy, I've seen it have a gigantic impact on, as you say, that communication with, quote, myself, right? So that internal process. And once that person, you know, this person is taken care of, the communication with, quote, everybody else is completely different, absolutely completely different. The ability to condition and to create suffering around it is so changed.
Yes. And, you know, I was reflecting on, you know, this, you know, my karma, my conditioning about just really having a hard time expressing what's really going on for me. Like, no wonder I struggle with having intimate relationships with others, right? I don't even know what's going on with myself or can't express it. You know, that's a real, you know, obstacle. And now I feel like, you know what? I really think, you know, that I have these tools that I can work on that.
Yeah. It's so exciting. I can't even believe already this year feels completely different to me. You know, we're how many days into it? And just having these tools, these communication tools, you know, it's not as if things don't come up. Things come up. But as you say, there's that sense of, all right, well, I have a way to work with this now. And I have a someone, that internal someone, to work on it with. It just changes everything. Yeah.
You almost kind of look forward to the challenging things, because I do feel very different and very supported. It's like, I want to try this out. I want to see how this works. And, you know, I know it'll take some time to integrate, you know, and I think I could go on and on. There was a lot of other like aha moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, right from the very first question on the retreat, the very first exercise, right then, you know, that moment was like, oh my gosh, already.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Well, I see, Tricia, that we are at the top of the hour, so thank you so much for being with us. That was really delightful to be reminded of what a spectacular retreat it was.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor, and I would just encourage anybody who can get to this retreat to do it for sure. It's absolutely just revelatory.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, Michael, I have two quick things before I turn it over to you and Sherry, if I may.
Yes, please.
One is that there is a workshop this Saturday, which is very likely on your list, but the Turning Ordinary Chores into Extraordinary Joy is happening on Saturday, and that's in support of the work in Africa. And I wanted to let folks know that the registration deadline is Thursday at noon for that.
Okay.
And then the other thing, which may or may not be on your list, but tomorrow is the next Bridgewalk support call. That's at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
And I had the great honor to talk to Teresa today, and I'm practicing restraint and religious observances, not to tell all my stories right now, because there are incredible things happening over there. And so, you know, we'll be talking all about that tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yep.
So if I heard you correctly, the workshop sign up for this Saturday, you need to sign up by Thursday. And then tomorrow's call at 5 p.m. is the next call for the Africa project.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, great. Michael. Have a great show.
We will. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Tricia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. They got that
great
right about
here.
That retreat, didn't they?
Yes. Yes, it was fabulous. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun, in fact, to hear Tricia and Jen talk about it, to kind of go back there. Because it does, in a way, it seems like ages ago. But it wasn't. But it seems like ages ago to just go back there and kind of drop into that space again and recall how truly fabulous it was.
Yes, and as you're talking, what's dropping in is that practice reveals the subtleties at deeper and deeper layers of how things work, how things actually work.
Yeah.
And when I think about communication, it's just, in conditioned mind, it's just so amorphous and vague.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, try to, quote, be a better communicator, unquote, is just almost not helpful at all. And yet, when you can
what
go...
What does that mean?
What does that mean? And yet, when you can go to a practice, or better yet, a retreat that is focused on that thing in particular, specifically, and breaking it down step by step into what's actually going on is incredibly helpful.
Yeah. 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 Tricia portrayed it beautifully. There was that...
Yes.
This kind of magical quality to it, as the
yes.
lights just kept going on all over the room and getting brighter for all of us.
Yes.
Communication will never be the same.
Never the same. Never the same, and that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing, yeah. Yeah.
And I have announcements here. Should we start with that?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are starting the new year with several fun and enlightening practice opportunities to benefit Living Compassion Africa, a workshop on turning ordinary chores into extraordinary joy is this Saturday, January 11th. And as Jen mentioned, the sign-up deadline is the Thursday. And then on January 25th, Ashwini will lead a workshop on the practice of commitments.
Yeah.
And finally, you can end the month by recharging and rejuvenating in a gentle yoga offering on January 26th.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we had a little taste of that at the New Year's retreat.
Yes,
so
we did.
That's a don't miss that one.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, all of them are. This whole idea that I think is Jen's brainchild with a lot of support from Ashwini, this, you know, all of these beautiful practice opportunities, offerings, and that they all benefit the kids. It's just, just crazy. And all of those things, you know, yoga and commitments and bringing presence and conscious awareness to everyday chores and recording and listening and just so many things going on. That we can all, that are so much a part of our lives and our practice, and to be able to do these things and benefit the kids, it's just, it's a good deal.
Good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So check out this Africa Project Practice-a-thon on the Living Compassion schedule, and please join us as we welcome another wonderful year of practice with our kickoff on January 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life? You won't want to miss Sherry's new Socratic email class that begins February 1st. Registration will open soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one, isn't it? Where we just jump in with, it's like being on retreat, right?
Yes.
Everybody just brings their whatever it is, and we all get the benefit of everyone's practice. So,
yes.
Looking forward to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a couple of reminders. Conversation on one topic, please, of about 5 minutes. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. Okay, I think that covers the intro, Sherry. Are you ready?
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Well, hello, Zoe.
Hi.
What's going on this new year? What's going on in 2020?
Well, it's been a long time, and I have been unplugged from practice and, sort of, I don't want to say purposely, but somewhat purposely unplugged for various reasons. And I just thought, I really missed having an introspective practice and the spiritual practice. And I don't know, I just wanted to look at maybe some of the ways in which I could even unplug myself from practice and why it seemed like a good idea at the time and like that. I know we don't have that much time. It's kind of like a big
Zoe, let me ask you. So you like practice, you enjoy practice, and yet it sounds like you chose, or it seems like you chose to not participate. How did you get to that?
Partly I think is my frustration with not feeling like I can get recording and listening to stick, and then not feeling like it makes sense to really be in this practice if I'm not recording and listening, and like just being like, you know, listening to other people. And you know, that intro was great, you know, the good news update, you know, kind of spoke to them somewhat, but you know, really listening to other people, like, oh, I love it, and da 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 da, and it's great, and it's not having that experience so much. And I think it was during an individual guidance appointment, you had said something like, you don't like listening to nice things from yourself. And
you
and
said,
there was something that you said that sounded like something like, you don't enjoy, you know, hearing nice things like you tell, you know, on a recording. And I just kind of felt like, no, I just can't get it to stick. And I also was concerned because when I compared my calls into open air itself on the radio show, I felt like over the years it just kind of got like darker and darker, and just, I don't know, I just like looked at myself over the years and I'm like, well, am I really even ending suffering, or am I just like perpetuating misery in a different way here? You know, just kind of feeling frustrated with not, you know, like feeling like I can't make it work for me, or just, you know, like I can't get into this recording listening thing, and I can't, you know, I'm just kind of like spinning my wheels in those ruts. You know, I got to try something else. I got to try something new. I got to do something else, because this, I'm not getting to, it brought up another question, which was if the goal is increasing awareness or ending suffering. And I thought, well, maybe I'm increasing awareness, but I don't feel like I'm ending suffering here.
Well, if this is one of those places where
kind
people are really, but it's true. You're actually having the correct experience, because there is nobody that I personally have run into who was introduced to recording and listening, said, oh boy, I can't wait to do that. did it and said, oh my God, I love it. I've been waiting for this all my life. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Okay. Now, I must say that I got it in the beginning, but I mm-hmm. got it for a very specific reason. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, do you know what that reason was? So, I'll tell you that reason. So,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. My focus, of course, is there's nothing wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. That's our whole deal in our practice. There's nothing wrong. And so people, you know, regular people would come to me in practice just deeply convinced that there was something wrong with them. And I could see that there was nothing wrong with them. It's mm-hmm. clear as a bell that mm-hmm. there is mm-hmm. nothing wrong with them. Okay, but I can see that they can't see it. They are convinced mm-hmm. that there is something wrong with them. And what I could see very clearly is the reason they were convinced that there was something wrong with them was because they were in a conversation in their head that was constantly telling them there was something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is if they weren't in that conversation, it would never occur to them that there was something wrong with them. In fact, if they were in a conversation in their head about what is really true, then they would, not only would they realize there's nothing wrong with them, there's nothing wrong, period, they would actually be happy because they would be living in what is true and what is real, okay? So I could see all of that, and I knew the way to do that. The only way to do that is with a recording mm-hmm. device,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. we get rid of what we're currently brainwashed into mm-hmm, listening to, mm-hmm. and we replace it with what is mm-hmm. actually so. Now, mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. is maintaining that there's something wrong with you is ego, is self-hate, is the illusion of that self that is separate from life, that wants to have its imaginary existence through a human body. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it is definitely not excited for somebody to do recording and listening, because if they do it, that imaginary ego existence will die. It will cease mm-hmm. to exist, right? Because it's imaginary, and it only appears to exist because it's talking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're having exactly the correct experience. You said, you know, I don't want to be controlled by ego. And ego said, well, tough bananas, Zoe, because you will be controlled by ego. And ego will make it so miserable for you that you will quit doing anything that is going to interfere with my ability to control you. And that's what it's doing to people all the time, although it doesn't call most of them Zoe. Only you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right on target. And the only thing that we need to do is not quit. So that's the other rant that I go on. Okay? That's what ego does. That's how it controls people. Gets them to quit everything
yeah.
that doesn't support ego. Right? Quit relationships,
yeah.
quit jobs, quit,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. right? Quit, just mm-hmm. quit, just quit. Quit exercise, quit eating well, quit, just quit. Okay, what?
Yeah, I realized as I was calling that maybe I had a timeline. I don't know, maybe my impatience of like, all right, well,
nope.
I've been trying
nope,
for eight
nope,
years.
Nope.
Maybe that's like...
Nope, it's just ego.
Well, no, but like feeling so, like I should... have it at a certain point or something, or that.
Well, that's
like,
ego,
all right,
though.
Well,
that's ego, though, Zoe. That's ego putting that forth.
I get what you're... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a negative voice in your head. That's what's telling you that kind of stuff. So without that mm-hmm. negative voice, you know, it's like, you know, say you want to be fit, okay? And without that negative voice, you would just enjoy going about doing any and everything that you can come up with that would help you be more fit. you would play, you would be active, you would take up new activities, you'd be excited to learn new things, because being fit is what you want. But the negative voice in the head makes it a contest, compares you, tells you how it should be, and you're not having that experience, and other people are, and this is more proof that there's something wrong with you. Whatever the content, the process is the same. So what it comes down to, what we're getting, and what recording and listening is the best tool for is, so now I'm the voice of the practitioner, okay, the one who is willing to just keep showing up and showing up and showing up. And what I say is, Zoe, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm never going to quit on you. I'm never going to give up on you. You're too worth it. You are too good. You are too good a human being. I'm always going to be on your side. I'm always going to be standing up for you. Let's meditate. Let's talk on the recorder. Let's listen to something. Let's go for a walk. Let's look at the beautiful sky. It's going to be a full moon on the 10th, by the way.
So, all right. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I hear you. I hear you saying, and that's helpful. And I'm just I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, Zoe. If you would listen to this conversation every day for a month, okay, every day for a month, first of all, you would get to see what lengths ego would go to try to stop you, right? And why? Is it because this is a dangerous conversation? Is this going to be hurtful or harmful to you? Is it? No, of course not, right? It wants you not to do that, because every time you come back to center and you're here and you realize that life could be different without that negativity in your head, you get a little stronger toward choosing this here now. And here's the thing. So you haven't been around for months, right?
Months,
it hasn't been years, has it? Just months.
No, a little less than a year.
Yeah, and so it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. If you get talked into going with that negativity, when you get sick of it and you say, not practicing doesn't seem to have made my life a lot better. Okay? It's not like I practiced and my life wasn't better, and then I quit practicing and my life suddenly was ecstatic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so. You say, all right.
I think that
I'm going to practice.
Sorry. I know. I think the argument is that my life is the same. I mean, that's the argument for
that's
not
right.
practicing. Is that my life is the same? I was miserable before when I was practicing, and I'm still miserable now. You know what I mean?
And like, you know what? Here's the thing. You were not always miserable when you were practicing. No, you were not. That is a lie, and you and I know it. It lied to you, girl.
Oh, thank you, Sherry.
You are so welcome. It's great to hear your voice. Stick around,
great
okay?
Talk to you.
And maybe put that retreat on your schedule after what Tricia said. Right,
yeah,
Michael and I were there. Jen was there. Tricia, we all had a really good time. So, for anybody who doesn't know this, the one that's going to happen, there's the one in September, of course, in closer to you. But the one in May is going to happen in one of the truly spectacular places on the planet. So you might think about joining us at Santa Sabina. Just a thought. No pressure. Just a thought.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Zoe.
Thank you.
Take care of her, okay?
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, what dropped in for me during that conversation is that, as you were talking about that unconditional, the power of that unconditional love and acceptance, that you are too valuable a human being for me to let go of. And I'm going to be there with you. And you can't get rid of me.
That's right. That's right. Powerful. I love you unconditionally, and you can't get rid of me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And that unconditional love is so much more powerful than ego. There's just no contest, no comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy calling from Maryland.
Hello, hey, Nancy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. Okay. What's going on?
I have not read your new book, but I have a question about communication.
Right. I'll do my best.
Okay.
You know what, Nancy? We do have a kind of a funny, I don't know what it is, a kind of a reverberation or something. Are you on speakerphone or different kind of earbuds or
Is this better?
So far.
Okay,
so far,
I
so
was
good.
On.
Yeah.
I was on speakerphone, but I'm not
okay.
now.
Okay, all right, let's try that. That does sound a lot better. Okay.
Okay, so with communication, if one recognizes that what one did has caused harm to people and wants to apologize, but to do so without that process being taken over by ego.
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's
I
what
so.
I wanted to look into.
So who are these people, and why do you need to, why are you assuming you did them harm and that you need to apologize and that sort of thing?
It's more like a miscommunication that occurred.
Uh-huh.
The failure to communicate clearly was on my part. That's what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, not maybe causing harm was not the right expression.
And so is this something that is ongoing? Is this something way in your past? Is this?
It was a little bit ago.
Okay. And so what you
but
would
I,
like
I,
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what you would like to do is just own up to the fact that you were not clear in your communication, that you know you realize that you were not clear in your communication.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? I mean,
we don't have to
beat on her or anything, do we?
No. We don't have to do that, yeah.
Okay. So if I were to say, if I were to send you an email and say, you know, it's become very clear to me that I was really unclear in that communication, and I apologize for any, any difficulties that resulted from that. Boom. Would that do it?
Yeah, I was just, part of the reason I called there was a few weeks back when Ashwini and somebody else were having sort of a similar conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This man was wanting to contact for him. I think it was his dad or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashwini was saying to become clear with himself first before.
Yep.
I think what she said was, are you expecting to get something from him or something? I'd have to listen to the recording again.
Yes,
so that's what,
yes.
What got me
which
thinking.
Which sounds like a very different situation from what you're describing, right? Because it sounds like you have realized that you didn't communicate clearly. That you were unclear. You've realized that.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear that you were expecting anything other than just owning up to the fact that now you see what you didn't see then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that you put it that way, it's very simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if I, you and I are doing something and I say to you, no, I don't think it would be a good idea for you to do that. And then I get information later on that my understanding of what you were talking about was not what you were talking about, then for me to go back and say, you know, I've realized that I didn't really understand what you were saying. And so given the information I have now, I wouldn't have said that to you. So I apologize for, you know, if you want to apologize, you wouldn't necessarily need to, because just simply stating that you realize you were unclear, you have different information now, and you're acknowledging that. I realize now that what blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was more like I pretty much said nothing at all, and that by not saying anything, that was what created a whole bunch of misunderstanding. So I can own up to that.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're not a bad person. You didn't have evil intent. You were not trying to do grave harm to anyone, right? Yeah. And so then we see what we see when we see it, and to just acknowledge that, yeah, good.
Okay, yeah, that's very clear.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we're going for, huh?
Yeah, and I'll get your books, then your new book sometime.
Not sometime. ASAP.
This year.
Because
this year.
You'll want to go to the retreat after you read it, and you know you'll want to be, you know, you'll want to be up to speed. So yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Okay,
take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. Sherry, what I loved about that call is when we, as your teacher said, nothing stands up under scrutiny. And when we lay it out, the details, and actually look at what's going on, the next step is often pretty apparent, pretty clear.
Yes. Yeah. And pretty, the word that comes to me is innocent.
Yes.
Which, you know, there's that flavor to it in that, you know, there aren't any bad people. Only ego is trying to make it some nefarious, probably slightly evil, wrong, bad thing that's going on when, you know, that's not where we're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. So true. So true.
Yeah.
And Sherry, we're going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. You're welcome.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another call here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rico.
Hello, Rico.
Can you hear? I'm on my speakerphone. Is that okay?
You're not even reverberating a little bit.
Oh, that's good, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I'm the caller that kind of slobbers enthusiasm and gratitude every time I'm on open air. And
that's a picture.
But it's accurate. So I was a remote attendee of the communication retreat and had some blazing revelations.
I confess, Rico, I was curious to know what that's like to be at a distance and participating along with us. So,
well,
sounds like some good stuff happened.
I've had the extraordinary privilege of this event multiple times, and it's always brings me to my knees in gratitude that the conversation says, well, nothing can happen. I says, oh, really? but what was, and I've been at this for a while, and yet there was a whole new level of comprehension. And the most remarkable place for it to take place was in a swimming pool.
Oh.
And
say more.
Well, twice in my life I've been saved from certain death in the water. So I am dealing with a chronic respiratory disease, and I got this idea a month ago or 5 weeks ago to start swimming to work on lung capacity.
Uh-huh.
And I was given a free membership at the local YMCA, and I said, well, it sounds like existence is inviting me to go forward with this.
Uh-huh.
So I get into the pool, and from the very first stroke, this blaring loudspeaker, unfriendly critic who pretends to be my ally, you're going to drown, and your lungs can't take any more, and stop. But since this communication retreat, that voice has been busted. Wow, I never could see it. So there's a Seventh-day Adventist church not far from my home, and I guess they take the trainees out to my street, and they're regulars, I guess you would say. And I always make it a point of saying, you know, I have another spiritual path, but I'm so impressed by your courage to walk up and tell me about your faith. And I'm so glad you stopped. Well, can we give you some booklets? No, I'm good, but thank you. So, I mean, that's a pretty apparent, concrete knock on my door. I'm not imagining it. That's how concrete I've recognized these voices while I'm swimming.
Wow.
It's so clear that...
And the people coming to your door are coming there because they are happy and fulfilled, and they love, and they want to share what is so meaningful to them.
Exactly.
Right? As compared to that horrible, hateful voice trying to stop you from something that could potentially be very good for you.
Pretending to be my best friend. Rico,
yeah.
You
so concerned
here.
About you.
Rico, yeah. You don't belong here. Get out of the water. And so I don't hear this word very often on this show, but I'm going to introduce it. Hopefully it's okay. It's the word courage.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a substrata of the word willingness, But I have to tell you, Sherry, sometimes every week I increase my distance by a lap, so I'm close to a quarter of a mile. And I have to tell you,
oh my God,
it takes. I'm feeling emotional because it is the bravest thing for me to keep going, because the voices are saying, no, this is too much. Yeah. You've had a bad heart.
You're gonna die.
And you're lucky to be here. And I'm trying to I just become. We've heard your friend Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh talking about emptiness as being a hollow bamboo with the wind. And when those voices come, it takes, I use the word grit sometimes, it takes all the grit available to just become an amphibian. And there's no voice now. There's no practitioner trying to be courageous. There's no one deflecting the voices or recognizing the voices, or it's simply, there's only movement in water right now. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always last that long. I get to the end of the lane and it starts all over again.
You're not going there again.
You got away with it. And it was never as blatantly seen until this workshop. I don't know how to explain that. There's no need to explain it, but it was, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, got clear. Yeah, got clear. Yeah. And I hope Zoe is still with us, because that's what you're describing is so perfectly how it is, right? We think, I mean, there you are. So first of all, you were given a free membership to the Y, where you could swim. So, you know, that's kind of a big green light right there, that this might be a good direction to go in. And then you go, and here come these voices, just these hateful voices. And there's the courage and all of your years of practice to stay with it, and you know, we would think that after a while they would give up, the voices would give up, but there you get to the end of the lane, and it's like they're there waiting for you. Right? Before you can get turned around and go in the other direction, they're going to come after you again. And we just realize that, yeah, that's what they do. They're not me.
So the Y was closed on New Year's Day, so I'm on this near-religious dedication to, I'm trying to swim a mile a week, and I'm getting closer there. And so I show up January 2nd, and I have this kind of bag of my goggles and my after-swim procedure, and it wasn't in my bag, and it wasn't in the locker I had used, and it wasn't in Lost and Found. They said, oh, well, everything is gone. And the voices wanted to say, well, of course, isn't that great? You can't swim today because you have no goggles. And wow, look at that. This, like, here's a sincere human being trying to survive this pulmonary situation, doing his best.
Trying to help his body.
And the voices are saying, well, of course you can't swim. Of course you can't. Mm. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't have ever recognized that ploy, that, like, which sounds like, I keep going back to this metaphor of Adam and Eve and the serpent. Mm. Oh, the serpent could become the friend of Eve, you know? Eve, you really got a hard time with this guy here, and it's like, I'm listen to me, I'm going to help you sort this out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I've got this for you. here, let me give you this. This
well, anyway, I saw it more clearly, and I went to the one of the people there, and they say, well, you know, we've got a box of goggles that people left yesterday. You can borrow some, I guess. So I and then I have this kind of Neanderthal forehead, and it's hard to get a seal with the goggles. And, of course, I swim one or two lengths, and the voice is like, well, you know, you can't get these to fit. You should just leave. And it's like, there's no quitting. You know, it's like, I have a second chance at life, and I'm not giving up. And, I couldn't do it without this practice.
Yeah, it was so perfect, Rico, because that's it exactly. The voices aren't going to give up. They're going to try to suck the life out of us if they can. And all we've got going is, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm just not. I'm not. And I'm not expecting that ego is going to be any different because I try really hard or I'm a good person or anything. Ego is going to do its evil thing. It just is. And it's not personal. It's not our fault. We don't need to take it on. We just need to ignore it and just do the thing that life is calling us to do for the human being that life is animating, which is what you're demonstrating. Neanderthal forehead and all.
I can't. The purpose of this call is to let you know I can't do it alone. And
no one can.
I really appreciate the privilege of being part of this Sangha.
Me too. Thank you, Rico.
Thank
you so much. All right. Take care. Deep gusho.
Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. And Sherry, I don't think I can hear that message too many times. I'm not quitting.
I'm not quitting.
What do you mean?
Nope. Hateful, nasty voices exist. It's not my fault. I'm not giving up on this human being just because those hateful, nasty voices exist. Nope. In fact, that just gives me an extra added little bit of strength and courage, right? Because that nastiness exists. We've got to do that much more for the human being. We've got to be that much more present,
yes.
That much more attentive, careful. Yeah.
Devoted, dedicated.
Careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, I will. This is Carol from Port Townsend. And,
hello, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, I'm happy to be talking to you, and so many wonderful things about the retreat. One of them was I just can't, you know, I was kind of in a resistance mode for like 5 months or something, and so I come away from the retreat, and now I've got now I'm recording and listening a lot, you know, just like I was doing at the retreat, and Eagle had me hoodwinked into thinking that practice was a burden and a difficult thing. And so that kind of dropped away because of so many things that happened at the retreat.
Yeah. And Carol, let me ask you this. I don't want to lead the witness too much here, but don't you feel like when you say you're recording and listening a lot, does that make you feel loved and loving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it makes me feel heard.
Is that remarkable?
Yeah. And calm and attentive. It makes me feel attentive to myself. And that's kind of bled over into, you know, being attentive to my body, but not some rigid schedule, just doing a lot of the yoga things that we did on the retreat, you know, whenever it kind of feels like doing it. So I've really been enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it just makes us kinder. It's such a kind process that it makes all of our lives kinder, I think.
Mm-hmm. And just recording about all the good things, too, you know, that are fantastic things and things that I'm grateful for. So I just really appreciate the practice, and I'm happy that I'm doing it. And I listened mm-hmm. in on the, I participated in the Reflective Listening Buddies training call, even though I've listened, you uh-huh. know, last year or something. But it's like, no, I want to listen. I want to participate, and I want to hear everything that's said. So I just feel really happy uh-huh. about that. Uh-huh. And one thing that's been that's caught my attention in the daily recollections is whatever we do creates karma, and we'll live in
and
the
we'll
karma.
Surely experience this karma.
We'll surely experience the karma, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh man, yes, I get that. I really get that, and it's I can do my habitual patterns, and my habitual patterns affect my life, and so I want to be cognizant of that. So now that's kind of I'm looking at that now. So I thought, oh, I can change my habitual patterns.
And that's right.
And so I was at the retreat, and there was stevia, you know. And so it's like, I never eat stevia. I mean, I never use stevia, you know. So I thought, oh, here's a chance to use it. And so I did it. So this is what I've been doing. It's not like, and so what I want to do is every day do something different, you know, break a conditional habit.
Yes.
And so, So it's not like, oh, I'm going to do it every day. It's like, so I've changed that to when it drops in and I see that I have a choice to do something different, then I do that. So it's not some kind of rigid thing. It's just like, oh, and things are, you know, showing up that, oh, I could do something different. And then I'm recording about it. So like right now I've done other things, but I can't remember them. Besides the stevia thing, I got them on my recorder. So
that's right. And what you're describing that it's just critical is it goes from when we're listening to the voices, oh, practice. Oh, God, I have to do this and I should do that and I don't want to, but I'm going to try to make myself. And you have just completely switched over to this is fun. You know, when we were little kids, we loved to do new things.
Yeah.
We loved it. We did not want routine. We had to be practically brutalized into accepting routine, right? Just whatever it is, And that's what you're describing. It's really fun. So it drops in. Oh, I could do something different there. Oh, I'm going to do that and see what it feels like, see what it's like.
Yeah, and it's delightful. It's delightful to see that I have a choice and to have it. That's like gratitude for practice that I see that, and then to take the choice and just see what happens.
Have fun with it.
And the other thing that I got from the retreat is to have I'm going to have my own direct experiences of everything.
Yes.
And so I'm going to do this new thing, and I'm going to experience it without listening to ego, you know, describe how it's going to be or something.
Right. Or tell you whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to be here for it. I'm going to be here for it. I'm going to have the experience. Mm-hmm. And if I get a bunch of, oh, no, you don't want to do that. You don't like that. You're not that kind of, okay, then I'm going to do that two or three times. Because, you know, that's not who I want to do that with.
Right.
And life is just, everything just gets so interesting. It's so interesting. And of course you want to be here because life is really interesting when we're here. And it's not interesting when we're not here and instead we're listening to a canned conversation in the head.
Mm-hmm. Well,
love it.
Deep intro for everything. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Carol. Very fun.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Carol. and trying new things is, I think, fabulous, Sherry. Great idea.
It really, really is. Life just expands. Everything gets bigger. You know, people talk about being bored. You know, people watch apparently like 4 to 5 hours of television a day, right? Because they're bored. Good grief. you know, if we just give our attention to life, we'll never be bored again. Because there are so many things that are happening all the time for us to attend to and be interested in and appreciate and learn from and enjoy.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right. Let's do that.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Well, there's one thing I want to talk about, and it's the thing that – so I was watching tonight that there was this dread that I might get on, and I've watched that before, that those sensations that every time it's about someone's about to become unmuted, there's that fear that it might be me. And so I was watching that tonight, and so somewhere midway through the through Open Air, I started to really look at it and go. Really start to question that. So what, you know, what's that about and all of that kind of thing. Anyway, so I know we just have a few minutes there, but I just wanted to get that out, first of all, just that process.
Well, and you know it's ego, right? You know it's ego.
Right.
Because you are the one who dialed into the show, right? So, you know, you might have a little poof-poof of excitement of the possibility of being on, but not dread, right?
Right.
So that's so helpful to see. Well, clearly that's ego. Of course the ego dreads you getting on. Of course.
Yes. Yes. And specifically I was looking at, so there's one specific thing, which is, okay, this, yeah, here's, I can feel the fear coming up. About talking about this thing. But anyway, just briefly on that, just whatever it is, I think fear that something's going to be revealed and then talked about with the guide and then, oh no, because something's going to be revealed about it. And
ego is going to be revealed. That's right.
Right.
Ego is going to be revealed and it doesn't want to be revealed. Yes,
right.
But Jeff doesn't mind if ego is revealed.
Right. So here's the right. Exactly. So it's just that thing of that's what I was watching is I was attempting to disidentify and move to the no. And so I was at the end. I was praying to get unmuted, so I could say it. But I say praying, but you know, just saying, you know, to life. Yes.
I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in. Unmute me. Make it me. I'll go. Uh-huh.
Right, exactly. So briefly, and I know we're right at time, so briefly, this is the thing. I've had some conversations with people in the last, I don't know, two weeks or whatever it is, about the desire to do what's, you know, spiritual work, whatever that might be. So that, you know, helping people grow, you know, awaken, that kind of thing. And everybody I've talked to has been very supportive about it. And there's this fear that, oh, I'm going to talk to Sherry and she's going to go, oh no, you know, that's how could you do that? Because I mean, I'm talking to Sherry who's like, oh my gosh. Right. And anyway, so I don't know about anything
Sherry usually says to people. Oh
right.
No, you're an unworthy human being. No, you couldn't do that. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Well, right. And that is that's exactly the story that, you know, has been trying to be told is that, you know, well, who are you to do that? You know,
right.
Anyway, I just, yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
I just, it's really good to put it out there and say, you know, here's what's being said.
And
to say that to you and say it publicly to the Sangha, you know, on open air that here's the story that's being told inside. And I want to get
that's
it out
right.
there instead of have it be secret.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's what we want to do. We want to reveal ego every chance we get. We want to out it. We want to say what it's saying and what it's doing, because that's the last its power is in its secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how it controls people. And so when we say what's going on and people go, really? Well, that's bogus. then it loses power, and that's why it doesn't want us to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
And feel bad.
Right. And the last thing I want to say, because I know we're over time, is I know I've got more of those that has talked me into hiding. And so I know that has kept me stuck in those areas. So that's what I've got to share about in the future. So
yeah,
that's good.
Good. Yes. Yeah. And Jeff, you know, we do recordings. Okay. So what the voices are saying is blah, 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 blah. And that's a lie. What's really true is, and then you say what's true. The voices are saying blah, 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 blah. And that's a lie. It is not true that blah, blah, blah. What's true is, and then you say what's true. Okay, so that when that stuff starts happening inside your head, you immediately go to, well, that's a lie. What's really true is, okay?
Right.
Because if we don't do that, then it has the last word. And we want to have the last word.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Great.
You are so welcome. All right. Good night, Jeff.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And another great open air, the first one of 2020, a new decade.
Hey.
It's very exciting.
And let me ask you this, Michael. Hasn't Zoe been our first call of the new year before? Do you recall that? Or am I making that up? I might just be making it up. Maybe she'll call in again and let us know. But I think that's been true in the past. She was the first one of the new year. So we'll find out.
That's
all right.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Very thank you, Sherry.
I appreciate it. Go happy.
Go happy.